Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is Barry Kantz, your host. And this is show number 249 for May 16th, 2010.
Chuck Hudson, welcome streets, smoking sweet relief.
The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance.
The neighbor chucks a sound, not the tula ground. Never seen her.
The song you're listening to is Parkdale. And the artist is Elizabeth Shepherd. And from the album Parkdale. Well, once again, I'm Barry Kantz, your host for the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and I want to thank you if you are subscribing. And you can do that by going over to iTunes and just typing in the iTunes store, just type in Travel Agent, and the podcast will come up, and you can subscribe to it. Also, once you're over there, take a look around. But, you know, what I'd like to have happen is, if you could, write a couple of reviews about the show. Now, you can find the show, the website for the show, at www.hometravelagent.net. That's hometravelagent.net. Now, the music that you're hearing at the beginning of the show is repeated at the end of the show. In fact, the entire piece is played at the end of the show. You know, I like to play music to start the show. And, you know, if you listen to the traditional radio stations, you're hearing the same songs over and over again. And I like helping the independent artists by giving their music some exposure here, and exposure that they won't receive on repetition radio. So, I don't know, give me a comment. Tell me what you think about the music. If you like it, if you don't like it, drop me an email, and you can send me an email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. You know, I was looking at the show statistics here the other day, and I counted up the number of countries that this show has been listened to within, and that's 123 countries that we have listening to this show. Now, of course, the top countries are the United States and Canada, but you know, number three? That's China. So that was a surprise to me. And Australia is right up there, too. And I want to thank everybody down under, and I want to thank everybody that's listening in China. You know, glad to have you aboard. Have you ever listened to some podcasts and they sound like one big infomercial? Well, you're not going to find that here at the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Our goal is to keep you informed about what's happening in the travel industry and provide you with some useful information that you can use to improve your business. So I hope you stick around, take a listen. You know, we're not a hard sell here, and the only sponsor that we have for the show is GoToMeeting. You know, our guests, our people, and the software that we talk about are software that we like to use, or people that represent suppliers that we like to use, and we invite them on the show to talk about their software or give you information about their supplier, about their product. And that's what it's all about. We want to bring you some useful information. You know, we don't want to sound like a big sales pitch here, and we're not. We're here to help you out. And if you would like to suggest a topic for the show, again, email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. Now, once again, our sponsor here is GoToMeeting. And you know, if you have to meet with clients and colleagues, but the cost of one average business travel trip is $1,000 or more, you know, the solution is GoToMeeting. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting. Just $49 a month, and you can hold as many meetings as you want. Plus, you get voice over IP and phone conferencing all included. So do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. Now, with just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from your desk. So easy, you will have your first meeting up and running in seconds. Now, I use GoToMeeting. I find it great. And I have a special offer for my listeners. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings for free. To take advantage of the special offer, all that you have to do is visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. You know, give it a try. I know you're going to like it. Well, today we have a special co-hosted segment, and Gary Ebels joins me on the co-hosted segment for this week. Lauren Romero is off on a fam trip, and I hope she's having fun and learning a lot. And next week she'll come back, and we can learn a little bit about what she's learned on this fam trip. But in the meantime, Gary has agreed to come on board, and we're going to talk a little bit about technology. So I want to get right into that. And here we go. Well, welcome everybody to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. We're into the co-hosted segment, and Laureen is off on a fam trip. She's taking a cruise. It's a repositioning cruise, and she's learning all about it, and that's what the purpose of a fam trip is. And I have Gary Ebels coming in and taking her place this week. Welcome aboard, Gary.
Hi, Barry. How are you?
Good. And I was just talking to Gary that I have a new piece of equipment here. I got a little bit tired of trying to filter out all the noise in the system with having this. My old system somehow kept getting the 60-cycle hum in it, and I'm hoping this new piece of equipment does away with it. So we're on the maiden voyage of this new piece of equipment, and hopefully we're all hooked up and everything's going well with it. But anyhow, Gary has graciously offered to come back tomorrow if this thing fails for some reason, but I don't think it will. You know, I was just telling Gary, all the lights on this are red. I guess that means it's recording, so I think we're doing good. So, Gary, I'm going to talk a little bit about apps.
Yes, I was kind of inspired. This is actually an idea that I came but listening to not one but two episodes, for those that haven't caught it, when you had the folks from Evernote on there. And I had been an Evernote user, and even though we're going to talk about apps and technology and so forth tonight, I want to also give my support and talk about the fact that I'm a real user of Evernote and highly recommend Evernote. And if you want some tips and tricks and ideas, I recommend going back and listening to those segments, because those were excellent. In fact, I hooked into not only the Evernote but I started listening to the Evernote podcast, of course, after I've listened to the Home-Based Travel Agent podcast show. But they have a really kind of fun, entertaining, and great ideas on their podcast. They have the ideas of the week and how different people use them and some of the new features that they're coming out for some of the different platforms. So thanks for that. And my idea for sometime when I might get the call that Lorraine is out doing whatever she does good, like cruising, even though my passion is Disney, and trust me, I'm going to I won't be neglecting Disney tonight. I got a couple of things to talk about, but the idea of both you and I, Barry, are kind of techie type people. We have a lot of things. In fact, in the name of full disclosure, can you why don't you tell them, because I think there's a contrast here, why don't you tell them the breakdown of your different platforms from PCs to handheld technology, Barry?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I think Laureen has been slowly converting me to the Apple side of the house. I have an iPhone. Uh-oh. And now I have an iPad. I have a laptop that's Windows-based, and my desktop's Windows-based. But now my son has gone out, and he's bought a Mac. And, you know, I never thought that would happen. So, you know, it's like I'm getting surrounded here by Mac people, and it's probably going to wear me down eventually.
Well, that's exactly true. On my side here, in fact, sitting here at the kitchen table overlooking beautiful Pickerel Lake in Newaygo, Michigan. I'm recording on my PC, or not recording, I've connected with you through Skype, which would be one of my suggestions here. We'll get back to that. On my PC, and that's open, but right next to it is my 13-inch MacBook Pro, which my favorite thing in the world, I think, just about, besides my grandkids and my kids, but from a technology standpoint, I really like my MacBook, and so I've got both of these. Now, you've got the iPhone, but because of coverage, it's not the iPhone itself. I do have an iTouch, but because of coverage and so forth in the AT&T network, where I live doesn't do very well, and so I was an Altel customer that became absorbed by Verizon, and on November 6th, and I can tell you that because I was standing in line that day, I went and picked up my Motorola Droid, which is a on the Verizon network, which is actually on the Android, which would be also on the Google system there too. So, and I'll talk more about that in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, you know, I've been really.
So we got the Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been really curious about the Droid. I've never really looked at one, I guess. So, one of these days, Gary and I don't live too far from each other. So one of these days, Gary, I'm going to have to show me that Droid.
I'll be glad to show it to you. And it's not necessarily the Droid. For those people that are thinking about looking at these type of things, I don't think sometimes from what I read and what I hear from some of the different posts and things like that, it's as much about the hardware as it is about the service at this point in time. And that if you're going to, if you really want to get a data phone, what you're going to need to do is to go get one or ask people around where you live in the areas that you frequent and make sure that they get good service, because one size doesn't fit all. And even though they fight about it, take a look at the maps, because it is fairly true. You get into the rural areas and your really, really nice iPhone, which is what something I would really, really love, may not work that well for you. So has your service improved since you've gotten yours, Barry?
Yeah, they have improved it quite a bit. It's out here where I live, it shouldn't be spotty, but it continues to be spotty out here around the area of my house. You know, I'm only, the way the crow flies, only about 2 miles from one of the major expressways in Michigan that goes east and west across the state. And probably the way the crow flies, maybe 10 miles from one of the major universities here in Michigan. And, you know, the signal out here where I live, being that close to everything, it may be one bar if I'm lucky. So, you know, it's unfortunate. AT&T could do a lot better job, I think.
Exactly. Well, time will tell, and they're supposed to, but I'm very pleased with my service that I get from Verizon. Always have, even when I was, before I had data phones and so forth. But I'm just, I really am just kind of amazed sometimes. There's not a lot of things that amaze me. Some of the functionality in both my iTouch and the apps in my that are available for my Droid, which for the most part are almost all the same, you know, and they're playing catch up now. There's a duplicate on either side. If I tell everybody that on my Droid I've got an Evernote app, I'd be willing to bet that Barry, on your iPhone, you have one too.
Yes, I do. I have the app on both my iPad and iPhone, and I use Evernote all the time, every day. I use it for work. Yes. I use it for business, and I use it for personal stuff. And you know, once again, you can go back and listen to the previous podcast we've had about Evernote. But boy, you know, if you're juggling a lot of balls, it's the application to have, and it keeps your life in order. And if you forget something, forget a password into one of your suppliers, Evernote's just a tool to use to store it and recover it.
Great. Well, Barry, you in your introduction, you said that we were going to talk about apps, and really that was my idea. But then as I was starting to think about and pulling some things together, and ironically, some of the reading that I was just doing normally this week in both the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, they had articles in there. And so I'm going to take the liberty to expand it beyond apps.
Sure.
Just to talk about technology and online and as it relates to not only personal productivity, but also possibly getting used in your business, which for our purposes would be the home-based travel agent business. And part of that is just a little selfish thinking. Well, there's so much to talk about, and I made such a large list. And my first thought of it is that Barry and I would come up with our five favorite apps and so forth, and I realized going five, how actually do anything justice with five? And so my thought on it is that whether I come back and record a little segment that Barry can include at the end of one of the shows, or we send Lorraine off, or possibly, because it's two Mac people against a PC, that maybe the three of us get together sometime and continue this conversation.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be fun.
But just to give you an idea, if you go to the Thursday, May 6th Wall Street Journal, a guy by the name of Walter Mossberg, and if you're into technology, you probably follow Walter. He has his article, it always comes out on Thursday, on personal technology, and the heading there was Learning About Everything Under the Cloud. And I think that's really, I'm not going to go into the article, but it's well worth reading, or go to his site and you can read it online. But the issue is cloud computing now, and that's where the future is really going with it. And it's really what has caused me to probably get a lot more use out of it. And the concept of the cloud is just like that. It's like somewhere out there in Never Land, or somewhere up there in the cloud. But the cloud is really translated as the internet. And so now what happens is that things that you normally had that you kept personally or close to you is now stored up in the cloud or in the internet someplace, which means that it can be accessed by multiple platforms from multiple locations. And even if you don't have your personal tools, you can actually emulate the same thing just as if you were sitting in front of your computer. And as a result of that, my first thing on the list here is to talk about Google. And I don't know how to say that, Google we know as a search engine and so forth, but Google has become much, much more than that. Does Google give you the free email, which I believe is one of the best email systems and platforms that you have, and it's not so much as just an email system. It's the ability to search. In fact, I have multiple email accounts, and one of my email accounts is simply for my day job at the community college, is that I use one of my Google email accounts to forward all of my important emails from work rather than let them put them in the archives at work for two reasons. Number one, they're always accessible to me in the cloud. And number two, the amazing thing that you can do to search it. It's kind of like three semesters ago, somebody sent me something and has a question now. I don't have to go search for it. I just go in there, and up there in the upper part of my Gmail box, I type in one keyword, count to three, and guess what? It's probably right in front of me or on the top half of the page. And so just the email functionality is to aggregate a lot of your different. The other ability is that they keep making it very intuitive, which means that even though I have multiple email accounts, I can get a lot of these things sent to me directly. And when I reply to them, I have the ability to hit the drop-down in the From button, and it comes from any one of my accounts, and I don't have to ever switch accounts, and so that's pretty neat. I also find it interesting that that their spam blocker does a really, really wonderful job, because mine's full all the time with all kinds of junk of stuff that would have gotten through on a lot of other email platforms that go along with that. So first off would be Gmail. The second thing would be the fact that there's a wonderful calendar in there. And, of course, when you have, you can, whether you're on your iPad, iPhone, iTouch, or even your Android, all this stuff can get pushed there automatically. And you can tell it what to do, whether you want it to delete it, but you've got it in a number of places. But the number one thing, I guess, if you haven't started using this and really talking about cloud computing, it would be using Google Docs or Documents. And what they really have done here is that when you go into Google Documents, you have all of your major office-type applications. You have a word processor. You have a spreadsheet program and most of the other ones like a PowerPoint program. And the uniqueness of it is when you either import or download a document in there or create one in there, it's saved in the cloud. And so very often what I will do is I'll create a document that I need at home, but I know I'm going to need it the next day or something, and I want to make sure that I've got it with me. Well, the ideal thing is that I have it with me is the fact that it's up in the cloud. And if for some reason my computer doesn't work, I can walk into somebody else's office and log in onto theirs, and it's right there. I don't have to worry about the fact that I got in the old days, I pulled out my little floppy disk, or I pulled out my little flash drive. It's now stored in the cloud. And so Google Docs is really wonderful. And so even though I was talking about the fact that this is the top five and there's five of them right there, I'm just going to cheat and call it one heading, and that's Google. And that is, from a business standpoint, it's there. In fact, the other thing that I referred to would be this week's, on Tuesday, May 11th, in the money section of the USA Today, The title of the article there was Business Apps Give Small Firms Cloud Cover, cloud being the cloud there. And then the subheading is Software as a Service Slashes Tools on the Internet. And what they're talking about, the fact is that in the old days, a business that had multiple platforms and wanted to share things with each other, they had to buy multiple copies of software or a license to get multiple copies. And those days are gone. In fact, what we're going to find is that there's going to come a day that we probably won't be purchasing any software anymore. When we log on and want to do a document, whether it be in Microsoft Word or something, the actual application is actually going to be in an interface which comes right through our browser or something like that. So that's the uniqueness of the cloud computing and where it's going. And the benefits of that is the fact that wherever we are, and our businesses travel, and that would mean that we're not going to be sitting home all the time, although that's what we were just talking about that we end up doing. I asked Barry if he had any trips coming up, and he said no, and I said, I'm having Disney withdrawal because I haven't been anyplace either. But even when you are gone, you can still service your clients and things like that too. So anyways, any thoughts on Google before I go on to my next one, Barry?
No, as a matter of fact, the Google Docs, in our business, we use those docs all the time, the spreadsheets and the word processing program in Google Docs. And another thing that I've recently done is my email address, barry@hometravelagent.net. I have changed that to a Google email. Now, when you send me an email, you send me an email at barry@hometravelagent.net, but it actually comes in through a Google interface, and Google will let you do that with your email addresses. And I could spend a whole show on how to do this, and it's pretty cool. And once you do it, you get all the benefits of Google, like Gary was talking about, the searchability, and this is the great spam filtering, and a great way to check your email. And it's all yours. It's your own Google interface using your own email address. So, yeah, that's the one thing that I would have to add.
Great. And just like you said, yeah, this is one of those shows that could perpetuate itself, or every 6 months it's time to revisit, because some of the apps and technologies probably haven't even been not only invented, but maybe not even a thought yet that we'll be able to talk about in 6 months or two. So the next one, and these end up getting a little bit shorter here, so is a service called TripIt. It's T-R-I-P, like a trip, and then it, and it's at www.tripit.com. And again, it's a multi-platform. You can get an app, you can technical interface and so forth. It's a free service. That's what we always love free, and most of the things I'm talking about will cost you no money here. But TripIt, their mantra is all your travel plans in one spot. And I'm just kind of mesmerized by this, because let's say that I make a reservation and I get a confirmation, whether it be for a rental car or an airline or something like that. Once I sign up for the TripIt account and I forward the email to an email at TripIt, because it recognizes my email, within seconds it comes back and has scanned through that, pulled out the requisite information, and put it on an itinerary that builds for the trip that I'm going on. And it's really amazing how it does. It's highly regarded, and it'll do multiple trips and so forth too. So whether it's your trips that you're going on, or some of these things I would say you might want to use or know about, and my pretense would be this, that you would know about simply because you could pass these on. These are great things to try out yourself and pass them on to your clients. Maybe even build one for them, and then they've got it all there, and they have it accessible from any computer, or maybe even if they've got a data phone, they'll send the updates and the reminders and so forth there. So, any experience with TripIt?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I use TripIt too. And the last two times we went to Florida this winter, I plugged my information into, or imported it into TripIt, and it was very nice to go in and take a look and remind myself a couple of days beforehand of what I'm doing. So,
exactly. So that's one on my list. Like I said, I'm going to limit it to five, knowing that I've got probably 25, but That would be number two that I really like that also is related to the travel business and so forth. Something that may not be directly related, but I've been using Microsoft Money for years and years and years, and I can't remember. I mean, I think the last one I've got now is still Microsoft Money 2006, that I've upgraded a number of times. But the word just came out that, because I download all my banking information onto Microsoft Money. But Microsoft Money is going away, and it's going to disappear within the next year or so. And so I've been looking for something new. And the thing that's getting the highest reviews and raves and so forth that I've been trying out and very pleased with, and it's gotten a lot of awards too, is something called Mint. It's at Mint, M-I-N-T, Mint.com. And they say it's the best, and then they have a little thing that says free way to manage your money. And it works very similar. You go in there and create a free account, and you put your information in there from your bank accounts and credit cards accounts and things like that. And when you log in, it does a number of things, including update all of those things and download your transactions and so on. Now, this may not be for everyone, simply because one of the things you have to do is it's like giving a stranger the keys to your car. You don't know whether you're going to get it back in one piece or not. And when you start putting things online, there are some people, they're just not comfortable giving out that much personal information to one location. We hear horror stories on the news all the time about people losing Social Security numbers and credit card information and personal information and people hacking in and so forth. But one of the awards that Mint got is that they're considered to be one of the most secure websites, and they use the same technology that your banks use when you go in and look at your transaction or check your balances anyway. So it's kind of the same thing. But again, setting these things up, possibly using it for a way to catalog all this stuff so that when it comes tax time that you've got a nice little file and some categories that you can pick out those things that are attributed to your home-based travel agent business.
Yeah, very good. That sounds that I haven't heard of that one. I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Right, mint.com. Yes. Number four on my list here, and this is another one like Google, which is a broad heading, and we could spend a whole show on this. This would be a great one also to bring Lorene in, because she's really gotten into this, and that is social media. And I don't believe that you're going to be in business, or if you want to grow your business and connect with people all over the place, is to get into social media. And just as a broad brush here, things that are the mainstay are at this point in time, which would be things like Twitter and Facebook. And the ability that you can now have both a personal Facebook account for you and your friends, but you can also have a business presence with an open site that you can just allow people to go. It's almost like having a self-built website where you are putting in there. And the neat part about it is that you can tie these things together. When I post something on Twitter, it automatically goes and posts to my profile on Twitter and gets sent out to all of my friends, and they receive it however they choose to do that. Excuse me. But it also gets posted to my Facebook account. So there's a number of tools and apps and so forth that will allow you to post one thing. You've got a special coming out. In fact, I'm going to talk about a Disney piece of news here in just a moment when we're done with the technology part of it. But you can send little ticklers out there about sales coming up, or if you got a special, or those kinds of things, or just general pieces of information. Social media is going to be a huge player in this. And again, if you're one of those going, well, I'm not really comfortable with those kinds of things, that's just for kids, I don't think that is much anymore. And I know, Barry, you have both of these things. In fact, I think even the home-based travel agent show has its own page too, does it?
Yeah, Facebook it does. Page? Yeah. It does. It has its own page on Facebook. I haven't done a lot to promote it. I just started talking about it on the podcast just as a kind of a promotional item here recently. And picked up, we've got a few people on the page, but I could do a better job of getting the word out, and thanks for bringing it up, Gary.
Welcome. Number five on my list is something that I'm talking on right now, and that is Skype. Skype is, for the most part, all free if you want to make internet phone calls. And the nice part about Skype is it's usually, because it's using the internet and some fairly proprietary technology and so forth, it usually gives you quite a clear connection for those people that call international. You have relatives and friends in other countries. It is one of the cheapest ways to connect with those people also. Also, for a small fee and so forth, you can dial out. You can make phone calls directly from Skype and emulate any number that you want. Mine, when I call out, emulates, it for caller ID purposes, my cell phone number. So it doesn't look like it's some strange number coming in. They go, oh, it's Gary calling in, and they pick up my call. And I'm just talking on it. Where I found it very useful for me is instead of holding on to your cell phone, and I'm not a real big Bluetooth person yet. I'm not sold on those. I don't like the quality of the conversation or the whatever you would call it, the voice in there. But if I know that I'm going to get stuck on hold for a while, you're calling customer service for some place, or and you're going to spend some time on the phone, I love to dial out with Skype, put a little headset up on with a little microphone and just sit there with my laptop and have Skype running on one part of my computer and just sit there and surf and do all the other things I wanted to do with the rest of it, too. So the other thing that would be kind of not similar to Skype because it's a little different, but there's something that's coming out going full circle back to Google, is that Google has something called Google Voice. Now, Google Voice is still in the invitation phase. You have to know somebody who's got an invitation to get one. And I think I have three of them left. I think everybody's got five of them that gets an account. I have three of them left, and if somebody would like a Google Voice account. Now, Google Voice is a little different, and that is it's one phone number that you would give people, and then you decide how you're going to what you're going to do with that incoming call. If it's a number that you recognize, you can tell it to ring any number of phones. Also, it will set it up going, for instance, Barry and I were talking today. Today was my, because it's our first nice day in Michigan for a while. I was out mowing the yard. Well, let's say I had a home phone and I had my cell phone. And, of course, we typically don't have the same numbers on there. Well, the Google Voice would allow me to give somebody that Google Voice number, and I would it would actually ring those phones. It would do work, my cell phone, my home phone, to try to track me down. Also, I can block calls. If I didn't want to get any calls from Barry and just say, well, Barry's one of those people I don't have time for, I can let that go into my voicemail account. And the neat part about that voicemail account, remember it's free, is that when someone leaves you a voicemail, it tells you about it in your Gmail account, and it takes the voicemail and transcribes it as best as possible. So you could actually be sitting in a meeting, got a voicemail call, and you could actually be reading what the person said in the voicemail. So try to do that without getting in trouble in your class or in your meeting or something like that. So, you know, picking up a voicemail, I think you'd get some funny looks there too. So both Skype and Google Voice is changing the way we do things in communications also.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I'm also a user of Google Voice, and I do like that product. And every once in a while I get surprised. I'm at home and all of a sudden my cell phone and my home phone all ring at once. And then I think, well, that's Google Voice.
Exactly. Anyways, well, that was funny. That's my number five on the list. But let me just do a couple of quick honorable mentions and just add the word Disney in front of it. There's two apps that one I tried out and one I haven't yet. One of them is if you are a Verizon customer, you can actually subscribe to an application which is only available while you're physically within Disney World. But Both that and also an app from, actually it's an interface online, from something called touringplans.com. Touring Plans is the website of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. A lot of you have consulted that book for either your own trips or for your clients and so forth. But they come out now with a new website, and if you have a book, you can get yourself a discount. This costs just a couple of dollars, but they actually have a web called Lines, L-I-N-E-S, just like lines. You'd stand in line and queued up and fast pass and everything else. But the neat part about it is you go on there, it tells you about the wait times and things like that. You know, when we go into Disney World, sometimes we go someplace and want to find out which places have the longest lines and which ones have still fast passes available and so forth. These apps will actually give you that information real time right on your cell phone. So
nice.
That's always a good feature there, too. So those are available. And again, if you got clients going to Disney, something worth pointing out to them because, again, that's what you are. You're their travel professional, and give them a couple of tips and ideas there to make their stay and give you a lot of credibility there, too. So.
Yeah, very nice.
So I have one thing left, Barry, and then we'll find out whether your new technology worked. And so something that just came out this week, and this has nothing to do with technology per se, but those of us that have been to Disney World and have been somewhere around the Pop Century Resort, as you drive into the Pop Century Resort, you used to notice these spray-painted green buildings that look like a resort that never was. Well, Disney has just announced that they now have plans for a new resort, and it just happens to be those buildings. Let me just kind of read you some of their news release here that came out, like I said, on the 12th here. It says, big news, we've just announced plans for a new resort at Walt Disney World Resort that'll bring to life some of the most beloved characters and stories. Disney's Art of Animation Resort will be one of a kind, featuring family suites designated around themes. The themes are The Lion King, Cars, Finding Nemo, and The Little Mermaid. It's a resort designed with families in mind. There will be amazing sights at the different themed wings of the resort, including a model of King Triton that will eventually be 35 feet tall and tower over guests. And Disney's Art of Animation Resort will also have a themed room interiors in its nearly 2,000 new units. They are going to have 1,120 family suites in the Lion King, Cars, and Finding Nemo wings, and 864 rooms themed in the Little Mermaid wings. And then it goes on to say suites will have both living room and bedroom offering added space. I think this has probably been one of the big issues here. Disney has the maximum capacity of a room, and in the value resorts, which, because we spend so much time in the park, they have a maximum capacity of 4, and that gets a little tight sometimes when you got a family with maybe just even 3 kids and so forth. And it's, you know, the smallest square footage there, too. So this is actually going to be a suite-type environment. So not only can you get the extra space, obviously the number of people you'd be put in the room, and their prediction is that it's still going to be priced competitively, and that most value times of the year it's still going to be around $82 to $100 a night at this value resort. So good news. Not supposed to open until the end of 2012, but you know what? We're in the business of making plans for people, and so it's something to keep an eye on, and we'll keep people up to date on this too. There you go, Barry.
Well, very good, Gary. I appreciate it. And, you know, if people have a question for you, how would they reach you?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Barry, because I didn't stick to just the typical email, although you can send me an email at wdwgary, that's Walt Disney World Gary, at gmail.com. But they can also find me on one of my two Twitter accounts. One of my accounts is Gary, G-A-R-Y, 222. I kind of say that one for my technology and and school types of contexts. I also have another Twitter account where I keep all my Disney colleagues there, and that's that location is something called Solo at Disney, S-O-L-O, Solo at Disney. I came up with that simply because I get to go quite a bit, and usually it's by myself because people can't always go as much as I do. And then last but not least, if you want to friend me, I'm at facebook.com, and it's just gary.ebels, E-B-E-L-S.
Well, very good. And I can be reached at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And my Facebook is similar to Gary's. It's facebook.com/barry.cants. And my Twitter name is CantsB. So that's all the social media connections. And actually, I probably have a couple more, but we'll save those for another time. Well, Gary, thanks again for being a part of the show.
My pleasure. Enjoy it.
Okay, thank you, Gary, for a great co-hosted segment. And I really appreciate you stopping by and filling in for Laureen. And hopefully we'll do it again soon. In fact, it would be a lot of fun to have the three of us on together. We're going to have to do that sometime in the near future. Well, I do have one news item for the show today, and that news item has to do with cruise industry security and how security will tighten on cruise lines. Now, this is an article from U.S. News and World Report, and it's written by Philip Moeller, and there will be a link to the article in the show notes. Now, this comes as a result of the recent attempted attack in Times Square, and anyone in the security or in the cruise industry has to be concerned about the security of cruise ships. You know, a successful attack on a cruise ship in or near U.S. waters will likely result in the closure of a U.S. port, or at least it'll discourage cruise travel, and that will harm the U.S. economy because of the significant economic impact. And this comes from a General Accounting Office report. Now, some good news is that the U.S. Government Accounting Office generally gives high marks to the industry and the maritime safety and law enforcement agencies tasked with protecting cruise ships. So the concern is there, and the cruise ships are well protected according to the U.S. GAO. And another piece of good news is that the National Maritime Intelligence Center did not have a single credible terrorist threat against a cruise ship in 2009. But nonetheless, there's been a sustained increase in efforts to protect the cruise vessels, including Coast Guard escorts and more aggressive reviews of crew and passenger manifests. You know, I'm curious, have any of your clients expressed any concern to you about cruise line security, cruise ship security, or any concerns about taking a cruise because of potential terrorist threats? I'd be interested to know. If you would, drop me a line at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and let me know. I'd be interested because, you know, I really haven't heard of anyone expressing a concern. So, you know, if you have, I'd like to know about it, be interested. Again, thanks ahead of time if you can drop me an email. Well, with that, I'm going to wrap up the show for this week. And once again, thank you, Gary Ebels, for coming on board. And Laureen will be back next week. Until then, travel safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye now. Looking at
can't stop us. Trip.